Well, it's good to have Nathan and Nicole with us tonight, singing there with Beth, with Nathan's sister. So that's a blessing to them and to us. Good to have them. Of course, Nathan grew up here. It seems like not that long ago, while I'd be working out at youth camp, he'd be pedaling his bicycle around out there, or chasing the dog or something, or getting muddy in the creek or whatever. Just a little guy, but he grew up, graduated our schools, and now he's on staff down at Riverland with Brother Rex Carringer down there, doing a great job. I've asked him to bring the message tonight. Always proud to see our kids grow up and come back and be out there serving God. Just a special blessing. He might be a little bit nervous because he's afraid of some of you. He remembers you when he was just little. I'm joking at him a little bit. We're always proud to see kids on our bus routes grow up in the Lord and turn out well, and some with questionable home lives and some with good home lives. God's in the whole business, isn't he? And we're proud to have Nathan tonight. He turned out well in spite of his parents. And I'm joking at Phil and Julie. I know they're proud to have him tonight. Nathan, come on, and you're just home, so don't worry about a thing. Just let us have it.
Thank you, Pastor. It's a great privilege to be able to come and preach here tonight. Just push this aside. I'm on the lapel tonight. But thank you, Pastor, for the invitation, and I don't take it lightly at all. And it's very humbling to be able to preach here at Landmark. I look around, I see people I've grown up under. He's talking about getting in trouble. It wasn't long ago. It was either my dad or Mr. Hill in the back whooping me in the office of the, you know, at school or something. And so, yeah, I have a lot of fun memories here, but there's some better ones, I know. But growing up at camp and everything, it's always been fun. And yes, Pastor Carter is right. I'm very nervous. In fact, I'm almost as nervous as the young man who had a date with a girl that he liked from school. And by the way, don't credit me with this joke. I heard it from somewhere. Not sure where I heard it from. But anyways, this young man, he was pretty nervous about his date with his girlfriend. And so he went down to the local drugstore. And as he went to the drugstore, he went up to the pharmacist thinking that he could help him out. Saw his older gentleman there. He said, "Mr. Pharmacist, I have a question for you. I need some advice." He said, "I have a date with a girl tonight, and I was wondering what I should give to her. I already got the flowers, but I'm trying to figure out which box of chocolates I should get." So he had a small box of chocolates, a medium box of chocolates, and a large box of chocolates. He said, "If she sits up close to me, I'm going to give her the small box of chocolates. If she holds my hand, I'm going to give her this medium-sized box of chocolates. If she kisses me on the cheek, I'm going to give her this big box of chocolates." And he thought, "A bad idea. Do what you think you need to do and just get what you need." He said, "All right." He said, "Are you sure about this?" He said, "Oh, yeah, I know." Okay. So he checked out with all the stuff, and as he goes home, he made his way over to the lady's house, and the dinner was actually at her parents' house, at her house. So she was going to meet her parents. And as he was going to meet her parents, he was really, really nervous as he found out about that. The girl said, "I want you to meet my parents." And he said, "Okay." So his nervousness, multiplied. And as he gets over to the house, he gets over there and he thinks, "I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to meet her dad. And I got all these chocolates and these flowers, and I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I'll just see as it goes." So they're sitting down at the dinner table. The father looks over at that young man and says, "Son, would you like to pray over the food?" He said, "Sure." Next thing you know, this young man starts praying like a mountain preacher. I mean, "Dear Heavenly Father, ha!" Just letting them have it, And it's just the parents and him and the girl at the table. So he's letting it go, Next thing you know, 30, 45 minutes later, he's still praying over the food. Finally, he ends it up, "And Lord, I pray you bless this food, amen and amen." Everybody looks up and just looks at him for a second. And the girl looks at him and says, "Man, I didn't know you were so spiritual." He said, "Man, I didn't know your dad was a pharmacist at the drugstore." So I'm a little nervous tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn over to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm just going to share with you tonight what the Lord has laid on my heart, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to at least one person tonight. We're here actually in Orlando. Me and my wife are in Orlando for the week. We're actually on our spring break from the school. And if you don't know who I am, I'm Nate Pitts. I'm the youth pastor at Riverland Baptist Church up in Dinella in Florida, west of Ocala, and working with my father-in-law, Rex Carringer, who's the pastor. And it's been a joy serving under him, and it's been a lot of fun. And I learned a lot from here and was able to carry it on with me. And not only in the growing up under the different ministries that I was able to be involved in, but also through the college and other things. And it was just a great blessing. A lot of things I learned, a lot of people I learned from while I was here. And I was able to carry that up with me. But we're here for the week. We're actually staying in Orlando. A week ago Sunday, before Easter, me and my wife are celebrating our second wedding anniversary. And we have a little boy already, Maverick. If you see any billows of smoke coming through the nursery door, it's probably from him. And he's doing something over there. But he's a year old, and just a little over a year old, and we found out just recently we have another one on the way. And we'll be due probably late October. And we appreciate your prayers with that. And 2 Kings chapter 2, and let's pray before we get into our message for tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all that you do for me, Lord. I thank you for your goodness and your grace, Lord. I thank you for this place. I thank you for Pastor Carter and the college and just all the different ministries that are here, the school. And just thank you for the outreach and the blessing it's had on my life, Lord. I pray that you just allow us to meet with you here tonight in the next few moments. I pray that you would replace me as a speaker, Lord. I pray it be you preaching this morning. I pray you speak to hearts only as you can. I pray you speak through your word. And Lord, I pray you help us to take something home tonight that we can put to practice in our lives and apply. We love you, Lord. We thank you so much for all you do for us. Bless the rest of the evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 1, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yeah, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by the Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, My father, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold on his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and bow themselves to the ground before him. Tonight I'd like to talk about, and I guess you could take this as the title, the difference between Elijah and Elisha. The difference between Elijah and Elisha. First thing I want us to notice is that Elijah had a great faith. If we turn over to 1 Kings chapter 18, let's turn there real quick. 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to use our Bibles a little bit tonight. Just want to refer back to one of the great things that Elijah was used by God to do. The first thing that we notice is Elijah had a great faith in God. And we see this in 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. Look in verse 21. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. The Bible says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay on it wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken." So here we see a contest between the prophets of Baal and the one prophet of God. You had Elijah, who is standing all by himself. Yes, he may have been discouraged, that you could probably think that, but I don't think so. Elijah was a man who was bold in his faith towards God, and he was able to go forward and act upon his faith that he had in God. And as Elijah acted upon his faith that he had in God, it was one against 450. And as he went in this contest against these Baal prophets, these idol worshipers, he tells them, he says, "All right, let's find out who God is. How about we get two bullocks? You make your altar, dress it the way you want. Don't put any fire under it. Just cut it in pieces, and we're going to see whose God will bring fire to the altar first." So let's continue the story. Where do we leave off? I think we were in verse 23. "Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first. Ye are many, for ye are many. And call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under." And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked." And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner which with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me." And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain two measures of seed. I'm going to pause right here because we don't have time to read all of it. But what happened here is Elijah gathers all the prophets of Baal around. He says, "Look at what God is going to do, the true God, the living God of Israel." And he fixes and repairs the altar. He puts the bullock on top. And next thing you know, he just begins to pour barrels upon barrels of water over this, soaking it to where the trench around it began to fill with water. And as he began to soak this altar down, then he prays, and from his faith, God answers that prayer and brings fire down upon that altar. Elijah's prayer was answered, but his faith was acted upon. Elijah was bold in his faith. Not only did Elijah have a great faith, but he also had a great God. 10 times in the scripture, in 1 and 2 Kings, you will find Elijah's name next to the phrase, "the word of God," or "the word of the Lord." 10 times in 1 and 2 Kings. Elijah was very bound in God's word, and as he had it in his heart, it showed on the outside. It showed in his thoughts. It showed in his prayer life. It showed in his faith. It showed in his actions. Everything that Elijah did was out of his faith. Now let's look at Elisha. Elisha's a younger man, a younger preacher, following after Elijah. Elijah's near his end. Elijah's nearing the end of his life. And as Elijah's nearing the end of his life, he knows that he has to pass it on to somebody. He knows that the mantle's going to be passed on. So Elisha comes in, and he's following the very words of Elijah. And notice that Elisha the younger, he tells Elijah over and over again, Elijah, and everybody's telling Elisha, Elisha, you know that you're going to lose Elijah today. He said, yes, I know. He said, hold your peace. And as he went out about that day, Elisha knew in his mind that he was going to lose Elijah soon. However, he kept on following Elijah around. He wanted to get as much of Elijah as he could while Elijah was available. Elisha had a great faith, the younger. Yes, I know I already said that Elijah had a great faith, but Elisha also had a great faith. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, back where we were. 2 Kings chapter 2. Look in verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, and this is right before Elijah's about to go up. This is right before Elijah's about to be caught up in the whirlwind and gone forever. And as he's about to go up into this fiery chariot, he looks at Elisha and he says this, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Elijah responded and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. Elisha also had a great faith. He was asking God to have double of what Elijah had. Elisha wasn't idolizing Elijah, not in one bit. He wanted to learn from somebody who had been learning longer than he had. Amen. He wanted to learn from somebody who's been learning longer than he has. You know what's funny is these churches today, and you see these guys online, they think they got it all down, and they don't want to follow the men who've been learning longer than they have. Amen. We follow God's word. We follow what God's word says, but I'm going to learn from the Elijahs that are around. I'm going to get everything I can from them while they're available. I'm going to tell them, I'm not going to leave you. I want to get everything I can from you. That's not idolatry. That's admiring what God has given you. I want to follow after the Elijahs. Elisha had a great faith. He wanted to follow after Elijah. He asked for something that required his own faith. Elisha wasn't living off of the faith of Elijah. He was living off of his own faith because he was asking God to give him a double portion. He wasn't going to get it from Elijah. He had to get that from God. Elijah couldn't give him a double portion. Elijah couldn't give him the miracles of the future because Elijah was about to be gone. Elijah was passing something on. Elijah was passing on the word of God that was already in his heart. Elisha wanted it. He wanted the same faith that Elijah had. Elisha had a great faith by asking for a hard thing. But please know that it came from God. That double portion did not come from Elijah. It came from God himself. Elisha was required to have his own faith. Elisha was required to have his own walk with God. And if we're going to pick up the mantle and walk after the Elijahs of our day and walk after the word of God like it commands us to do, we must pick up the mantle. But young people, we must walk with God first. If you don't walk with God, don't expect Elijah to just hand it over to you. If you don't walk with God, don't expect God to just give it to you because you're the next one in line. It doesn't matter who's in line. God's going to give it to the one who knows him well. Elisha had a great faith, but he also had a great God, just like Elijah did. He was given a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Elijah was the older man of God, and Elisha was the younger man of God. And yes, this was a time of change, but it was not a time of great change. All it was the passing on of the mantle. You can't change truth. As men of faith, as men of God pass on, what they did is going to pass on. Their ministries are going to pass on, but the truth that they handed down will not. It will last for all eternity. What is taught must be received, and we need to receive what we can from the faith that we have around us right now. This was a time of change, but it was not a time of great change. Not once do I see in the first passage that we read in 2 Kings chapter 2, as we read about Elijah and Elisha, Elisha following Elijah around and asking and talking and conversating with him as much as he can before he knows that he's going to leave. Elisha's trying to get it all in as much as he can with what time he has left. And as he's doing this, he's following Elijah around. But look in verse 12. And Elisha saw it. And he cried after Elijah had already gone up into the chariot. And Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? This verse sticks out to me the most, this phrase right here. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Elisha paused, and what he wanted to do, he said, God, I want to know the same God that Elijah knew. I want to know it in my own heart. I want to know it in my own life. I want to take it right now, put it upon me. And yes, he received that double portion, but he wanted it to begin there. And he took that mantle that was given from Elijah, put it into the water. Next thing you know, the waters parted hither and thither, and he walked across on dry ground. Elisha was given a gift by God. Not once in this passage of Scripture do I see Elisha telling Elijah what to do. Let me repeat that. Not once in this passage of Scripture do I see Elisha, the younger man, instructing, changing what Elijah has said. Never once do I see him make a recommendation of what we should do. Maybe this will be better, Elijah. No, he kept his mouth shut and he wanted to learn. Not once do I see Elisha trying to change Elijah's methods, his ways of learning, his way of doing things. He just wanted to learn. We need more humble Elishas today who are going to be humble and say, I want to learn from those that are around me. I want to learn from those that have been doing it right, that have been doing it right for a long time, that have been learning longer than I have. We need humble Elishas who are going to work, who are going to get to work, who are going to be faithful, who are willing to be humble, who are willing to get to work and do things for God. Yes, they want to experience God for themselves. Yes, they want to see God work in their own ministry, and he will. But remember who's gone before us. Remember who it is that we've learned it from. Elijah was the teacher, but Elisha was the student. God's house is in a great need of both Elijahs and Elishas today. Say, who's the Elijahs in this story? It's the people sitting in these pews right now. The older folks, and you might say the older folks. I'm talking the parents, the teachers, the pastors, the Sunday school teachers. You are the Elijahs. You're the one that's going to pass on the truth to that five-year-old boy or girl that's in your Sunday school class. You're the one that's passing on the mantle to that young college student that's in your class that's late every day. Amen. And you're the Elijah that's passing on whatever it might be to that younger person that's before you. I believe it was Tony Hudson or Lester Roloff, one of the two. I remember hearing when I was younger, he said, every person, no matter who you are, where you're at in life, you have influence. Somebody's watching you. You could be the homeless guy on the street. Somebody's watching you. Every one of us has influence. It may be our children watching us. It may be that student in our class watching us. It may be that kid we never talk to. It may be that friend that we never see at church, that we know at work. It could be anybody, but we have an influence on everybody that knows who we are. What is that influence going to be? Is it going to be an influence of Christianity? Is it going to be an influence of God working in my life and sharing it with them? We're in great need of Elijahs. The older folks that are here, you might question sometimes in your mind and in your life, why am I still here? Your loved one may have gone on before you. Maybe something like that that you don't understand. God still has you here for a reason. You still have your influence. God wants to use that influence to pass on what truths He's taught to you to someone younger. I love the ministry that is here, Senior Patriots. It's a great ministry. I remember growing up, since I was little, working in that ministry, and I don't know how much of it was work, but you know, I remember growing up in the Senior Patriots ministry and getting the opportunity to preach there when I got older, and serving food to the seniors there and all that. But you know, I remember most of all that going around and getting to talk to some of those folks before Senior Patriots began. You know, I remember many times Pastor Carter walking over and just conversating with a lot of the folks that were there. You know, I remember as a young boy walking around and just asking some of those people, you know, who are you? Where are you from? And they're from all over the world. And, you know, well, it seems like that way, but they're from all up north. That's why I said that. But, you know, they come down from Ohio and Michigan and, you know, the common places and Illinois and all that stuff from the snow, or escaping from it, and the snowbirds, as Pastor calls them. And, you know, as they come down, you know, I remember many times getting to know many of them and just getting to learn something from them. Those are our Elijahs. Sunday school teachers, you are our Elijahs. Day school teachers, you are an Elijah. Older folk in the pew, you're an Elijah. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's listening to how you talk. Someone's watching how you walk. Who's the Elishas? That's the younger people in this room. We have something to do. We have people to learn from. I love, and I love to pass it on to my teenagers in our youth group. I love reading about heroes of the faith. Pastor Bobby Robertson just passed away in this last year, and heaven gained somebody when he went on to heaven. And you know, we lost someone that was special to us here on earth. But you know, when Bobby Robertson's and Lester Roloff's and all these other men are around, us Elishas, us younger people, we need to get around those Elijahs and learn from them. We need to gain what they've done. I've had the privilege of getting to know a lady in our church right now. She's a member of our church. Curtis Hudson was her brother. Every chance I get, I go to Mrs. Barbara, is her name, Mrs. Schultz. I'll walk over to Mrs. Schultz and I'll say, Mrs. Schultz, how did your brother do this? How did he deal with teenagers? She said, easy, he just ripped their heads off. And I said, oh, that works, okay. Greatest advice that I ever got. We must learn from the Elijahs that are around us. And the reason we must learn from them is because the time is now. We're running out of time. Turn over to Matthew chapter 24, and I'll finish here. Matthew chapter 24. I love this passage of Scripture because it can really kick you into high gear if you haven't been paying attention lately. I don't know about you, but as a youth pastor, I click on the news and I realize that my job's not done yet. Right. Teenagers, young people today need God. In order for the church to stay 10 years from now, they got to be taught now. They got to learn now. Elijahs, we got to get to work. Elishas, we got to learn. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. The Bible says this, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Every time I read back in the book of Genesis about Noah and the ark, I like to picture in my mind, what was the day like for Noah? We read about how he built the ark. And as he built that ark, imagine the criticism that he received. That stupid old man, what's he doing down there building a giant boat? It hasn't rained here in how many years? Who was right? Noah kept on working. Noah kept on doing what he was supposed to do. He asked what God told him to do. The word of God was there with him. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah kept on going because it was what God told him to do. And as he faced all the criticism on every angle, I wonder if his family began to even question, Dad, are we really going to do this? Dad, okay, all right, let's do it. They built that ark. Then you think of the day that the raindrops began to fall, when that door was already shut. And those people that began to call out on Noah and say, you know, Noah, he is such a stupid old man. He's building that ark. It hasn't rained in so many years. The next thing you know, the raindrops begin to fall. And they're, what is that? What's hitting? What is this? The door's shut. Noah? All right. I believe you now. Can you let me in? No answer. Noah? The floods are starting to come up. It's around my ankles now, and I'm not sure if I, it's a tall wall. I can't get around that. Can you open up the door? Man, what did he have to listen to? What did Noah have to listen to on that boat? Right. Noah, let me in. The scratching on the side of the walls of the ark, the begging, the crying, the children crying, pleading, open the door, let me in. Or Noah had nightmares that night, I'm sure. But as the coming of Son of Man is, when Jesus returns, we're going to be facing the same days. And you put on Fox News, CNN, whatever it is you watch, we're in the days of Noah. The time is getting short. We're running out of time. And Elijah's and Elisha's, we need to get to work. There are miracles that God wants to perform, but he needs somebody who's available. It's not about ability. It's about availability. God, I'm willing to be used. Elisha was willing to be used. Elijah was willing to be used. Who here is willing to be used? God, use me. Whatever it is you want me to do, if you want me to move there, if you want me to do this, I'll do whatever it is you ask me to do. It comes with the walk with God. It comes by having your own great faith. What was the difference between Elijah and Elisha? Only one I can see is their name. What can I take from someone that I can learn from around me? And what can I do to use it in my influence on someone else right now? Elisha's, we have a job ahead of us. I know I'm speaking to a lot of college students in front of me right now, and they're not far from my age. But listen, I don't want to be the only one living for God in 5 years from now. And I pray that by God's grace, I will be. Living by his grace and serving God. But listen, in order for us to get the job done, in order for the thing to go on, for the Great Commission to keep on going forward, we got to pick up the mantle. We got to get after the Elijahs that are around us. We must learn from them, and we must put it to work. Elijahs, you might be ready to go to heaven. You might be ready to go on. You might be ready to pass on and go to heaven. I understand that. You have something great to look forward to, but God has you here for a reason. You have an influence. How are you going to use it? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to preach here tonight, Lord. I pray that in some way it was a blessing to somebody. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness and your grace. I pray that now more than ever you would wake up the Elijahs, wake up the Elishas. Lord, I know you haven't stopped calling us. I know you haven't stopped calling people to ministry. I know you haven't stopped any of those things. But Lord, we've stopped listening. Us Elishas have closed our ears. We tried our own ways. We've gathered up with our buddies and let's do something new. Lord, I pray that you'd humble us. Help us to learn from those that have gone before us. Help us to take it and use it in our lives daily. Thank you, Lord, for all you do. In Jesus' name I pray.
Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. Going to give an invitation tonight because we just heard a great message, some real truths from the Word of God. And he wasn't preaching to somebody else. He was preaching to us tonight. And I hope we receive the message. Father, speak to our hearts about it tonight. And Lord, maybe some folks need to come and say, I want to be Elisha. I want to learn. I want to go on. I don't want to think it's all been done, but I can do more. And I can go on by your grace and do the things you want me to do. Bless the invitation, Father. If there's one here unsaved, we'd pray for them to come tonight. But speak to us, Father, because the message was to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, whatever God's asked you to do.
I have.